You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Please be advised that this next piece does have a discussion of sudden infant death. So if you're sensitive to this topic, the segment will last about 8 minutes. Feel free to tune back in after that. A new study from the Children's Hospital Westmead in Sydney has identified that babies who pass away from SIDS have a significantly lower level of a specific enzyme that's imperative in the brain's arousal pathways. I spoke with Faye Selby-Law, General Manager at the National SUDI Prevention Coordination Service, about the implications of this research on the picture of SIDS in Aotearoa. I started by asking Faye about what the established body of knowledge looks like in Aotearoa on sudden unexpected death in infancy.
That's a very big question. I guess the whakapapa or the background to it is it used to be known as cot death, where babies just went to sleep in their cot or bed and didn't wake up. And a lot of research was carried out worldwide, and a lot of those babies didn't have any cause of death. So that's where SIDS came in, so sudden infant death syndrome. However, in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we know that we, sort of round about the 80s and 90s, we were sleeping all our babies on their fronts, and so on their tummies. And there was a lot of research done around that and whether, you know, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the days when they suggested that we cover mattresses in plastic and, you know, that they thought there was something wrong with the mattresses or the beds. But actually, it was found that it was the fact that babies were on their tummies and sleeping, and so that's when they were passing away. So we had the whole back to sleep campaign, and we know that that changed our statistics in the early 2000s really dramatically. Around 2010, the whole idea of sleeping completely on their backs, so not even side to back, side or back, changed those statistics. But of course, as happens in Aotearoa, it was inequitable. And that was about the fact that many of our babies co-sleep with their parents, particularly whānau Māori, but actually all parents quite like having their babies close to them. And so the big question then was, what is it about sleeping closely with your baby? And we found that a big percentage of babies, it was actually occlusion of their airway. So there was a reason why these babies were dying. So a tiny percentage of babies, just a very few, die of SIDS, and the rest pass sadly because they are in a cozy sleeping space with their parents. So they actually have an occlusion, or they might be sleeping in like a car seat or in a place that doesn't allow them to have good air access.
You mentioned that the statistics have improved, which is obviously fantastic. What is the overall picture of the syndrome in Aotearoa right now? Do we have an increased mortality rate?
We don't talk about it being a syndrome anymore. It's sudden. So we've moved from cot death to SIDS to sudden unexpected death in infancy, because we know that there is actually a causal factor to it. So only a few babies die of SIDS, the rest are, there is a reason for that. And really that comes down to the fact that it's disproportionately impacts on whānau Māori. And there's a couple of reasons there's many reasons for that, but a couple of really important ones. One is that Māori women have the highest rate of smoking, I think, in the world, actually. So around 24% of Māori women still smoke, whereas the general population, they're down to about 9%. And that is why this piece of research that you sent me is so interesting, because we know that in utero, when a mama smokes, it has an effect on the arousal pathway. It would be really, really interesting to find out about what does tobacco do to that enzyme that stops babies waking.
Yes, as you mentioned, the research does identify an enzyme that is connected to the brain's arousal pathway, and it identified that it's found in lower levels in infants who pass away, as you've said. Do you have any ideas about what this could mean for future screening? Is it something that we should move to start developing screening frameworks for right now, or is it kind of too early to say?
I think it's too early to say, and I think we already know here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, that there's a whole lot of factors around poverty, you know, poor housing, our houses with mould and cold, which affects not just Sudi but a whole range of health kaupapa. So, you know, if we could fix those things up, a lot of that would change. So those are really important to remember our own context and where we're living and breathing. But this piece of research that you've highlighted, I think, is interesting in terms of if we could say to our, you know, it's more information for our whānau. So if we could say to mums, the reason why we want you to stop smoking in your pregnancy is because when you smoke, there's actually this enzyme in baby's brain, and it tells baby not to wake up, or allows baby to keep sleeping, even in really low levels of oxygen. So we already knew that. We knew that happened with smoking, and that's what we're trying to achieve with all our Stop Smoking programs, and of course it's World Smoke Free Month. So I think that's important, but the more information we have and the better informed we can make whānau, the better chances there are of reducing the risk.
Kind of answer my next question, which is there kind of evidence that communicating research such as this can have better outcomes for people who are not served by our healthcare system right now? Does communicating that information to them earlier rather than later have better outcomes?
Well, I think it adds to the number of things that we're trying to share with our whānau who are having babies. Not necessarily. Some of them is like, well, you know, what the heck's the research, you know? If you're thinking about getting the next lot of kai on your table, or you're wondering how you're going to get to work because you haven't got enough petrol in your car, then maybe this research doesn't mean a lot to you. So there's a whole series of things that need to be fixed up before we can just say, oh, great, this research has answered the problem around Sudi, and let's tell these mums through a blood, you know, to go and have a blood test, and then we can tell them they're more at risk. I think knowing that you're more at risk doesn't necessarily change your behaviour. It's the positiveness of how you're going to live your life. And we do that through having wānanga wahakura. You know, it's translating the message in a way that is easier for whānau to pick up and understand how it affects them. So while I'm excited about the research on one hand, because it gives us a little bit of an answer, on the other hand, it's like, you know, how much difference will it make to many of our whānau in Aotearoa who are more likely to be at risk of a Sudi? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to see be the next step with this research in mind and with all of the other factors that you talk about? What do you think is the most important thing to move forward with right now?
Oh, for me, I'd like to see the link between smoking and pregnancy in this, because, you know, when I read that piece that you sent me, it just sort of talks about some people don't have this enzyme. So some people don't have the enzyme, and so that increases their likelihood of having a Sudi or a SIDS, and more likely to have a SIDS. But what's the link between that and smoking?
Right.
Tobacco use, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the exciting part for me. Is that the link that we haven't known about before? We've just said, if you are a smoker, then the arousal reflex is affected.
That was me speaking with Faisal Bilour, General Manager of the National Sudi Prevention Coordination Service, about the recent breakthrough into uncovering the causal factors of SIDS, specifically the potential links to tobacco use and decreased levels of this arousal pathway enzyme.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.